You're listening to Creative Thursday, episode number 184. Welcome to Creative Thursday with Marisa Ann Cummings. I'm an artist and creative business mentor in Los Angeles, California, talking all things life, creativity, and business intended to inspire and empower you wherever you are on your creative journey, both personally and professionally. Thank you for listening. Hello, friends. It's Marisa here for day two, or actually not, well, yes, day two, part two of my fertility journey, my journey to motherhood, my fertility story. And okay, so game on, it's happening. This first episode was already one of my highest download days as word traveled that the episode went out. So I know you are listening, and I thank you already for the notes you shared, just opening up to me about some of your own stories. And I want you to know how much my heart is with you and how much, again, I thank you. I take your trust in me very, very much to heart, and I really appreciate it. And as I was sharing with you on episode one, when you share and open up about a story like this, it's pretty incredible when other people feel safe to open up to you because you've shared a vulnerable part of your story. How many people have gone through very similar experiences, very painful experiences. And I just, it's no joke. You are all warriors. I mean, gosh, we live in a time where it's so hard to feel like you want to single out any part of the population because challenges happen in life, and we are all warriors through making it through, truly, truly. And I just, in the simplest terms, I just want to acknowledge you and say thank you. And I did my check-in today, so I decided to go ahead and continue on with the momentum. It didn't feel quite right to just bring it back to business as usual today. But I do have something I want to share with you. As I go through this experience, I'm also going to give you an inside, a behind the scenes to going through this experience. And that is absolutely directly related to having a business as an artist. And this is why. It's about, you know, it comes up over and over again in my coaching communities, in the expansive artists. I've talked about it many times on the podcast. What it really takes to express yourself in a social space, whether it be a podcast, Instagram, Facebook, email, YouTube video. Did I forget anything? A TikTok, maybe not quite so personal. Instagram stories. You know what I mean. When you're sharing something deeply personal and you can't see everyone in the room who's listening to you, it's uncomfortable. It's not something many people ever did before now. And even though it's become part of our familiar, especially those of us who have online businesses, it's still very uncomfortable. And that's why, as I shared with you in episode one, why it has taken me a while to have the courage to come and talk to you now, because I wanted the story to look different. It doesn't. And just as a quick recap, I felt that the way I am handling how it doesn't look in terms of a traditional fertility quote unquote success story, that this was really important for me to share with you now. But I told you before I record episodes, I do a check-in. How am I feeling? Am I feeling pretty aligned with my energy? Am I in a good headspace? Am I feeling like I can share from a healthy place? And today is a bit mixed, and I thought it would be all right for me to come and talk to you anyway because I would use it as a teaching point. When you challenge yourself, fill in the blank, whatever that looks like for you. What is interesting is how many other things come up to challenge you in a similar fashion. And I just want to take note of that because a lot of times when you kind of break to a new level, in this case, let's say it's self-expression, or maybe you're experiencing a burst of success, and these can be very positive changes. It can feel like other parts of your experience, your surroundings, start to come unhinged. They come loose. Things come at you. It's almost as if you've created an earthquake, or it feels like they're coming at you. Let me rephrase that, because life is really our perception of our own reality. And that is a bigger statement than I'm going to unpack right this minute. But it feels like it's coming at you because you're already feeling out of your comfort zone. You are out of your comfort zone. You're not feeling it. I'm out of my comfort zone right now. And I chose it. I choose to be here. I choose to continue. I am not only out of my comfort zone and sharing a personal story, but I've been continually, as you know, if you are my regular listener, thank you. And I'm so happy you are here with me on the journey. You will know that I've been out of my comfort zone. I keep saying pretty consistently, ever since I decided to become an artist, that's the truth of it. Ever since I decided to work for myself, it all escalated, but it really hit a new level in the last couple of years. And that's because I've chosen to really learn and grow and step even further out of my comfort zone. So I'm really looking forward to my big prize at the end of this is to have a bit of vacation time in Hawaii when we can ever go there again and not speak to or see or social media anything for at least a week or two. This is my wish. Just speak to the people who are with me on this trip. Only because I can tell I need a break. But I'm in, game on. California is maybe, probably, kind of being encouraged to be mostly home through August. That feels very long, and it's starting to definitely have an effect of feeling like we can't be out in the world. And this is not a commentary on that at all. I just realized, well, might as well just dive in all the way, because one thing I've found is, I don't know that this is the best recommendation, so please don't take this as guidance. But for me personally, sometimes when I just go all in, I say, bring it. Just bring all the discomfort. But I'm not really asking for that, universe. I'm not saying, please bring all the discomfort. I just feel like, all right, well, let's just do it all at once. Let's tell this story of during a pandemic while we are at home and confined and working through growing your business and working through changes in your mate's business and changes in the world and everyone and everywhere else. You know what I mean? It's kind of all in the pot right now. But sometimes, honestly, it's easier because it is just all in the pot right now and we're all slightly unhinged. And so what if I just let go and flow with the river that is carrying me? And that is my intent. But the reason I want to talk to you today about why it felt okay to come on a little bit mixed. And by mixed, I'm feeling a little bit on edge and a little bit feisty. And I realize, in full transparency, this is going to be uncomfortable for me. And there is, and I can only say I'm going to do my best, there can be an edge to what I'm sharing and how I'm sharing it because it is touching a nerve. So I waited a very long time because there is a theory, and I truly do respect this theory of you know, don't necessarily, when you're talking about expressing yourself in this, let's just say, online public arena, online space, to speak from you're a scab and not an open wound, which is a terrible visual, I know, but it doesn't bring home the point. And I kept checking, and I thought, you know, I just can't wait on this. As you know, I talked about it in episode or part one of this journey, which is episode number 183, if you missed it. I just felt like I was doing a disservice to the people I could be helping right now by sharing the story. And if I just keep putting it off, it's just time going by and I could be helping someone right now. So I intend to and want to do my best not to let any of the edginess come through. And it's just wouldn't be possible without acknowledging that it's going to be there. So I have a mostly, I do not like this analogy, but I started it. So let's just continue on. It's mostly a scab, but it can get pulled open. And I would say so far, so good. I'm not getting pulled open right now because of sharing the story, which is great. That's really great. And like I said, the feedback I've heard from you has been very supportive and very kind. I truly, truly appreciate that. What's happening though is because I'm putting myself in a new place, I'm just generally uncomfortable. And that is related to even, you know, older wounds that have a scab. Does that make any sense? Just the act of being uncomfortable and coming up against myself and this concern over what will someone think and the concern of speaking to an audience I can't see, which is also kind of liberating. It's just me here in my microphone. Oh yeah, no, Pepita. I had to kick her out today. She's had enough of the talking time to the computer and the podcast. So it is just me and my microphone. I can't see anyone, which does allow for it to initially feel a little bit easier to share in this way. But I tell you this story. I open this part of the story by saying this is going to happen. I don't know anyone. I haven't met anyone yet who isn't totally out of their skin trying new things because that's just what's involved. And I have met plenty of people who just won't even go there because that's what's involved. And while I can certainly honor that, I also feel kind of sad for a person who just won't go there because I think what's on the other side and also the aliveness you feel in just moving forward, continuing to move forward, to continuing to stretch and go and grow, to me is just well worth all the discomfort. It doesn't always feel like it in the middle of it, which is me right now, but it's so worth it. It's so liberating, and it's just, I would just rather be feeling alive than be feeling afraid for any reason, truthfully. So, with that said, onward, if you are, and I know, I've had this privilege of coaching a number of women artists, and gosh, I'm so impressed with what they are accomplishing right now. And I think I've touched upon this first. I just want to celebrate you. I know you're in the boat with me, and it may not be about this particular topic, but I know you're with me. And I really, really honor you right now because I don't know if it's because of COVID-19. So at the time of this recording, you know, we're a couple of months into this pandemic in our country here in the US. And I know for me, there was definitely a switch that got flipped, which was, yeah, no more Marisa. Any part of me, and I've been out there in the world. This is not new territory for me, not at all. it is sharing in this level, but it's not new for me. But whatever part of me was holding back, it won't anymore. And I can already tell a massive difference in how I'm choosing to show up in the world, the boundaries I'm setting within my world, the momentum my business is gaining and moving forward on. It's really, it's like all of the work I've put in, which one would hope and expect, is starting to click into place and is starting to make a whole lot more sense. So I know intuitively this was the right time for me to begin sharing. And I will continue to just stay as transparent as I can with you about what this process is even like to talk about it. And thank you for sharing with your friends and your followers. I know it was shared on Instagram. I appreciate it most importantly because I hope it's helping you. If this is making a difference for someone in some way, I hope it is. So what I thought I would do today is just not finish up the story. It's not going to be finished today, but to talk about the second phase of my fertility journey and bring it up to a more present day moment. Because I realize thinking back to the first chapter of my journey, pre-fertility treatments, is also not, it's a little bit painful to go backwards because it's a different chapter of my life with a different partner. I was married. And while I've shared before, it is, you know, I think really fondly of that time. And we had a very amicable parting, which I'm so thankful for. There's a lot I appreciate about it. And at the same time, it was also painful, like very, if you ever split with a partner, even if you both feel like it's the best choice, it's, you know, I was with this person for the first 12 years of my adult life. I also met this person 2 weeks before my dad passed away. It was just all a very, very pivotal, poignant, profound time. And it's not so much even the fertility part of the journey, it's just revisiting it in general. So I feel like if I wrap up that part of the story on this one, then in our follow-up episodes, I will talk about the journey going forward and with Sean. So where I left off last time is I went through my first year of trying. I had a very, right out of the gate after stopping the pill, I had a very challenging period, a very challenging cycle. I didn't think much of it. And then I just kept moving forward and started getting testing. We were tested as a couple for all the various things, the beginning tests, which, oh yeah, I always want to say, I'm not a doctor. please go to your, I'm not giving any medical advice here, just for the record, not at all. And I don't even remember the specifics of those tests, but usually you go through different hormonal tests. Your male partner gets checked on sperm count, and then you get checked on how the sperm interacts with your bodily fluids. Oh, right. Remember I told you I would talk about some of it just from a, by graphic. It really isn't graphic. It's just scientific. These are just scientific terms. And you go through this process because there are all kinds of things that can happen, including a woman's body can reject the sperm. It can see the sperm as a danger, and it can reject it. So there are so many nuances to what is, when you think about it, just such a miracle that it happens anyway. Do you know there are millions of sperm that get released, and there's just one that makes it to an egg, and there's maybe a couple of eggs that a woman releases on any given time, depending on her age and her fertile state. And it finds the one egg. I mean, it's pretty miraculous. It's pretty great. Which also means that when you're on the fertility journey, there's a lot of things that need to be quote unquote checked. And it can start to feel like a rabbit hole. It's basically crossing off a list of, okay, it's not that. So then what is it? Okay, it's not that. So then what is it? Okay, it's not that. So then what is it? And you can see how in marketing speak, been talking a lot about marketing this morning. It's like a funnel. You start, but except it goes the reverse. You try to do the most minimal, least invasive tests to begin with, because why would you put yourself through all kinds of discomfort sometimes, expense, emotional discomfort, time, energy, everything, if it's something very simple, but you don't know until you start taking those various tests. And by process of elimination, obviously a lot of the medical community has had experience and they can say, all right, it's basically like a starter pack for your fertility testing. It's a starter pack. And if you're lucky enough just to do the starter pack, you can figure it out right there. Obviously, you'll know that was not the case for me, but we're still in the starter pack of the story. So I tried for a year, nothing happened. The panic started to swoop in. I think I may have held off for a year because I was in my late 20s. I wasn't even 30 yet. And then I just started to step into the starter pack testing. Everything was absolutely fine. And I did not have any extreme cramping or anything. My cycle has always been regular and fine. Everything seemed to be working like clockwork. So I decided not to put pressure on myself. And I shared with you, I watched friends go through IVF. And I'm going to just preface this by saying, I was really afraid of fertility treatments. I'm not entirely sure why, but I do remember having a conversation with a family member I trusted, and I know this was well-intended, but I'm very much a natural person. I'm the kind of person that doesn't even want to take ibuprofen, really, if I have a headache. I just don't typically take medicine. I don't turn to prescription, over-the-counter. I just avoid it. I'm sure part of it is how I was raised. And also just being very fortunate to be healthy through the early part of my life and having health and meals and diet and food be very conscientious growing up. I am thankful to my mom. She just introduced me to a healthier style of eating as a child. And in all my European background, I just love how Europeans, they just eat very mindfully, healthfully. They enjoy everything. And the meals are so well crafted that I kind of grew up with this sense of my body in relation to nutrition and exercise, and I just felt connected in that way to a more natural approach to everything. So I really had an opinion about fertility treatments. And when I spoke with a well-intended family member who was very on the natural scale, I remember her very specifically saying, "You don't want to force this. You want it just to be natural." And I thought, yes, I don't want to force this. But in hindsight, fertility treatments are not forcing it. They are just another path. That would almost be like saying that if you went to adopt a child, that somehow you were forcing your family. And it's just not the case. Or having a surrogate. I mean, there are so many ways now that families are A, coming together as partners and also conceiving at way different age ranges than was once the norm. I mean, I really am thankful that people are kind of pushing the bounds on what we thought was possible in this whole arena. But the reason I share that story with you is because it really stuck with me. And this is why, and I was asking for guidance, so I don't have any resentment around this. I just realized that somewhere that kind of got locked into my mind. And I thought, if I were pursuing anything around fertility treatments, that I would be forcing what, and let's put it air quotes, should come naturally. The truth is, you can, if we want to get into semantics around this, you can do IVF and it still doesn't guarantee that your baby is coming through that process. So you can't actually force it, no matter what method you approach when starting your family, finding your family. You can't force it. It will be on its own path. I think that's a very big misunderstanding, is that you just go, well, I'll just do IVF. No, it's not that simple. And it can be. It can be the exact path that works for you the first time out of the gate, or it may not be at all. And so there is no forcing. By you taking action and getting tests or beginning to pursue alternative approaches to what is supposed to be natural doesn't mean anything other than that you really want to have your family and you are looking at all the options available to us, and you have every right to do that and do whatever on this journey aligns with you. Right? I promise you, I will remind you of that 100 times over, and no, this will not be 100 podcast episodes, I promise. So that means I'm going to tell you more than once within an episode. But this stuck in my mind, and I got really attached to the idea of finding a natural path. And so that was my first part of my journey. So I did not choose to do any scientific intervention at all for several years. I basically just stayed off of birth control. I was referred the book. Oh, I should really look it up. Okay, I just looked it up. Taking Charge of Your Fertility by Toni Weschler, Weschler was referred to me. There's a reason there are 982 full 5-star basically reviews on Amazon. This was a fantastic book. Even if you, I know it might not make sense as to, well, I don't want to have a child, like confusing fertility. This is also if you don't want to have a child and you don't want to go on a specific kind of birth control. I just recommend reading this book really for every woman, because it was the one book that introduced me to my cycle. And yes, it absolutely will help you begin to have an understanding of what's going on in your reproductive health. And you may, I remember this was the first book that came to me where she's suggesting if you just track your basal body temperature with a thermometer every day during your cycle, you're going to know so much about your body that you don't even have to have some of these blood tests that are part of the starter pack of fertility. This is where I just searched fertility on Amazon. I almost got hives. There's so many opinions out there. Oh my goodness. I feel for you. I've already learned to find my boundaries within this space. And I really appreciate if you are taking the time to listen to me right now and you're going through this. It is not much like if you choose to share your story with me. It is an honor I do not take lightly, and I most certainly do not want to confuse you. But I will tell you that for years I have loved this book. It never made me feel any shame or felt bossy to me. Just the language, the way it's been written. And it's just so helpful. And what if you don't want to have children? You will also know. Or if you want to have natural birth control, you will also know how to maybe work with that a little bit. And anyone who is a woman, it's just so important that we have this information. So I cannot recommend that enough. It's Taking Charge of Your Fertility. I will drop a link into the show notes as well by Toni Wexler. I'm going to assume it's pronounced Wexler. So I was given that book and that was a real eye opener for me. And I thought, okay, actually it can, you know, it checks out. I had already done my starter pack of testing, but everything seemed to be going along fine. So I thought, I'm not in a rush here. I'm going to give it some time. And I know the people who were where I now am were looking at me like, are you sure? You kind of have time on your side. Are you sure you don't want to do something now? To which I say, yeah, maybe I should have, but my story's not over. And besides, it's too late to go back in time anyway. And I could take this opportunity and say, well, yes, if you're feeling like you're going through a challenging time related to fertility, sooner is always good. If only because, or better, because it's just easier to get the medical community on your side. It's just going to be easier not to have people in your space reminding you of your slim percentages as you get older, which are all statistics, because we know umpteen million stories about how it worked for someone unexpectedly. And you've got every story out there. They're not as popular and they're not being told within fertility clinics because, again, it is a business. With that said, yes, or earlier, sooner is better. So if you find your intuition guiding you and it's scary to you, I invite you to hang on, stay with me in the next episode, because I'll start to take you down the path of fertility, which I think is so important, because the one thing I wouldn't want for anyone, and one of the main reasons that I really truly want to share the next parts of this story, is I want to eliminate the fear, if you have it, the fear and the judgment around fertility treatments on all levels. I wouldn't want that to get in your way, because it definitely did for me. And once I experienced it and found the right team to help me through that, I told you before, I kind of loved it. And there were a lot of reasons I did. And a huge part of that had to do with the team I chose to help me, and also a very dear friend who helped me and her family. I can't even thank them enough. I'll talk more about that later, but it was a really beautiful experience in a lot of ways. And yes, I did have disappointment, but this is the nice part of memories, that in hindsight, I realized I had nostalgia for that experience, because I felt so cared for. So I just want to assure you that it does not have to be super, super, super painful. Just know that going out of the gate. And I know a lot of people do have very difficult time with it. So I don't encourage you to listen to their stories right now. If you're considering it, listen to mine. listen to the person that says they enjoyed it, whose body was receptive to it. Because I do believe that how you feel about it impacts how you go into it. And that's why I just want to invite you into feeling soft about the experience. And then we'll come back to that in a moment. But that's the one, I can't really say I have regrets, because I was very clear-minded about every choice I made, really. And so I have to know that this journey brought me here for a reason, and brought me in, has taken this long for a reason. I don't fully know what that is yet, but it's okay. I don't have to have that answer to keep moving forward. I'm just saying that I was really clear about my choices. I knew every step of the way. And obviously I'm also with partners on this journey, and we had conversations about it as well, which is what brings me to just the second part, kind of closing the second part of this journey. So while I was married to Art, I just let it go, and I didn't push anything. I didn't Well, let me just rephrase that. See, it's still in my mind that if I had taken action on fertility treatments, I'd be pushing. I didn't pursue anything beyond recognizing that my body seemed to be fine and not feeling ready for any fertility challenges. Or, oh my gosh, Freudian slips all over the place. What could have been fertility challenges? Because it is. It's challenging to get there. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. Also, I was in Colorado at the time, and one of the best IVF doctors in the country is there, who shall remain nameless. If you happen to know who this person is, then you will know. And I also kind of heard nightmare stories about this person. So it's probably worked out for the best, because if you don't know or you haven't noticed, I'm a sensitive soul. Much like how I choose to coach and mentor, I also choose my coaches and mentors very carefully. My teachers, my doctors, we're going to have a whole conversation about that on Any Health. You are in charge, by the way. You get to choose. I am astounded as I got into this at the way that doctors have treated their patients. It makes me sick to my stomach. So I'm not going on this one. Just know there's going to be one very specific to choosing your medical team. And also, this applies to every one of us going through anything, because one of the greatest gifts this experience gave me is how to be an advocate for my health and how to get support around, surround yourself with support, whether it be family or friends or an advocate of some kind, to help be the advocate when you can't because you're too in the thick of it. Super, super important. And I am going to share this with you. So at the time, it didn't feel very inspiring. You know, the reason people feel shame is because a lot of times they just are treated poorly. In this environment, they're treated as if they have a reason to feel shame. And to me, that's just unimaginable. But I know that that can happen in a lot of ways within the medical community on many different instances. And it just breaks my heart. That's why I told you I had a whole vision of wanting to create an entire medical community out of this experience. And, you know, my story's not done. Maybe one day I will, but all right, let me not get too sidetracked on this. For a number of reasons, because I was younger, because I wasn't certain that I thought, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be a parent at this time in my life, and we weren't feeling any pressure in this direction. And then I was building my first business, which a lot of times can feel like you're having a baby. It really does take a lot of your energy and your focus, and you feel like, well, let me get this baby off the ground before I add another one into the mix. And so I became distracted by my very first entrepreneurial venture, an e-commerce company. And this took all of my energy and my time. So I kind of put the family part of my plan on the back burner and simultaneously made a choice, short version of the story, to move to Los Angeles from Colorado. Completely unexpected, unplanned. It made sense for my e-commerce business, and it did actually make sense for the job Art was working in the tech industry at the time. He had an opportunity here in Los Angeles. But I will not speak for him, but I just remember he was looking at me like, wait a minute, we just moved to Boulder. What are you talking about? You want to move to Los Angeles? What? Even I had to say, what? I never thought I would live here. I know I've talked about that at another point in the podcast, but it was as if there was something greater than me getting me out here, and I just followed it. You know, that is a beautiful part of life and whatever stage you're in, but especially when you don't have children and maybe you don't feel so responsible to keeping them in the same school or trying to keep their life as consistent, you can follow impulses. And that's what I did. And it was really fun. And again, I talked about just feeling alive. It was very life-giving, and I'm forever thankful I came here. I really feel at home here. I didn't realize how much I would. And I loved my time in Colorado. And it surprised me that I left, to be honest. But again, there was a bigger part of my story. And so I made the decision to move out here. But as that was happening, there was a gentle unraveling to my marriage where I started wondering if this was the person I was meant to be with. And I think, you know, on its simplest terms, I'm definitely not going to advise anyone on getting together young because we know countless experiences of people who make it through, have incredible relationships with all the highs and lows because they all come with it. And so you can be a high school sweetheart and have it work out. We met just early in college. We weren't high school sweethearts, but you know, you grow, and it's asking a lot of two people who get married very early in life to grow together because supposedly I've since learned your frontal lobe isn't even fully formed until you're 24. Is that true? And a lot of times you're making very big life decisions like getting married or partnering up and then maybe having children very early. And so you sort of, you know, fumble through until you're 30. Although I do think, do you think this too? It seems like each generation comes in a little bit more prepared than the one before. So I watch people who are teens now, what are my Gen Z, and they just seem really wise. And they don't seem caught up in a lot of the things that my Generation X and even, no, what am I? Yeah, Gen What am I? Oh, there's the millennial, right? Am I Gen X? Yeah, I think Gen Y is millennial, right? Whatever. Okay. We're still part of a certain window and then it, you know, kind of changes. But basically, the short version is you grow apart. It happens. And it was very disconcerting though, because I really wanted to be in it for my lifetime. And I also promised myself that I wouldn't, you know, if either one of us felt that it was time to move on, that we would honor that. I believe in commitment and I believe in freedom and allowing someone to decide what is best for them. So I was feeling that happening. It was it was really sad and very uncomfortable. And it just slowly over a couple of years started to unravel. And I think there was a part of me that probably was wondering, is this the person I am supposed to have a family with? And maybe it's good that it hasn't happened yet. And ultimately it was, because not that we couldn't have worked that out beautifully, I'm sure. It just is easier if you're going to make a split from someone when children aren't involved, of course. Just even from a purely logistical standpoint, and even if it's amicable, it's complicated. And I really do honor a lot of people are doing it so well. It has become a new way of having a family and being in a family, and I really admire that. But it worked out. It was not something that came with our split. So I really was right at the point where I also said, you know, I do want to have a family. We had moved to LA. We were enjoying it and chose to make it our permanent residence. After trying it out for about a year, we kept our place in Colorado and just rented it for a while. And we found a home here. And I felt like, okay, time is ticking on. And I've done what I need to do. And I really want to start pursuing fertility treatments, which did feel scary because not just for the emotional side, but of course, it's expensive. And if you're just getting on your feet as a young adult, the thought of taking what you just built and we were just kind of finding our way with everything and turning around and putting that into fertility treatments felt daunting in itself, which, by the way, in Los Angeles and other probably bigger metropolitan areas, most insurance doesn't cover it. And also it's even way more expensive than other places. I will come back to that when I talk more about fertility, like by a lot, a lot. And I think because people think they're making more money here, the rent is more, it's just more expensive. A lot of things are more expensive here. Similar to housing. I don't know why fertility is in that category, but it is. Oh, wait, I do know why. Because people feel desperate. And so anything that is attached to an emotion that they feel like they have no other options, unfortunately, people take advantage of that. And quite honestly, that's what I think is happening most of the time, is that your hands are tied. If this is the path you want to have to a family, someone somewhere decided, well, I can charge you for that path. And I'm not underestimating the value of the science and it's an intricate process for sure. So please don't misunderstand. But having found other options along the way at a different price point, I know it's a bit exorbitant here. So that was all feeling very daunting. And, you know, we were just sort of unraveling at that point, and it got put on hold. Because then I went through a divorce, which is painful. It's a loss. It's a massive loss. And I fully knew, well, you could be, I think I was just 31 or 32, you could be single and you could be bypassing this window of having a family. And I was willing to make all of those choices. I fully made these choices. There is no blame. There is no resentment. I did the best I could, and that's the choice I made. So much so that I then, and this is where we will close today's story, I went back on the pill because I was going to be single. I did not have a business. I was not working for anyone at the time. I had chosen to let go of my e-commerce idea, and I was in a very weird in-between spot. And I thought, okay, great, not a good idea if suddenly something does work out with my body to now bring a child into this environment. It felt too risky for me, so I chose this path. And I forgot to add that one of the first things they will give you in the fertility starter pack, I don't know if they're still doing it now, is to put you on Clomid, which, again, some of my memory is hazy, so you do your own research on this, but I believe it just causes you to maybe release more eggs because it's known for possibly causing twins in people early on. And I think it just encourages your body again to produce more eggs, which then would give you more, it's a numbers game, would give you more chances of more than one conceiving. And so that was the very first anything medical I took during this time. It did not work. It did not make a difference. And it was also the first time I remember being judged by sharing it with close friends. We had close couple friends at the time. They had not gone through fertility. In fact, one of them was in the medical industry. And it's weird how these little moments stick with you. And I'm sharing them not as gripes or grudges at all. Please understand that. If I do, I'll clarify beforehand. But I remember this person saying to me, "Why are you doing that? You don't need that." And I thought, you know, don't say that to someone. They're just doing the best that they are doing. And it immediately makes you feel like you're second guessing yourself. And also, yes, I felt very judged right in that moment. Completely judged. It's delicate enough a subject. It's delicate enough to trust someone to share it. So when someone does and they're not asking you, "What do you think? My doctor prescribed it for me," then it's not your opinion. I'm just going to leave the Facebook beep. I thought I closed all the windows. I forgot where to turn that off. Oh my goodness, Facebook. Hello. Anyway, forgive the beep. That's what that is. So that was the one step I took that did not produce any results that I was aware of. And that's it. That's all I did for the longest time. And then I leave you with, I got divorced. I began a life anew. Some of those stories, it's also when I started Creative Thursday. It was all a massive, massive turning point in my life. And it was not long after I had actually met Sean a couple of years before, but it was not long after that we started to date. And it just was a huge, just one of those momentous times in your life where everything comes undone. You take full responsibility for your choices and you just dive in and see what happens. So I leave you there. Again, I hope this is helpful for you, and I am taking it 1 week at a time. I'm following my own intuition about what feels good about sharing this in continuation or breaking it up. If I have something very important business-wise to share with you, I will. And also, as you can see, if you listen to the beginning of this, I will weave it into just the experience of being a business owner, because a creative business owner, an artist sharing my art in the world. I made a special painting on Sunday related to this journey. It's on my website. It's called Staying True to Your Heart. It is with absolute certainty that this journey has influenced my art. I will talk more about that as I tell the continuation of the story. It has influenced my art. It has influenced how I have chosen to show up or not in the world at times. It has influenced my spirit. It has just, you know, like everyone, it is a part of my story that is also connected to my business. We live at a time where we are often now becoming the face. I was already early on, but you become the face of your quote unquote brand, even if that is your art. And people are asking this of you because it is a saturated marketplace. And my pure business marketing opinion is if you are not that person, people, they aren't going to know you. The only way what you create, because you're, everyone's doing everything. There isn't really competition. There's just, are you willing to show up as much as yourself as possible? And that is what will set you apart. It's that unique quality you have. And as artists, we naturally do it with the work we create, but now it's about sharing you and your story. Storytelling is a very large part of marketing. And this is not, I just have to clarify, I'm not doing this for marketing reasons, but I also know that it does work when you share your story with people on whatever level. I'm not talking about deep personal stories. I'm just saying your story, wherever you are, it does work. It really, you know, it's the truth of you. And I just have to, I will address this again, but I have to say, I've felt like I have in some ways not been dishonest with you because I haven't been ready, but I felt like I've been holding back from you, and that in some ways you know that, and that it just doesn't really work, right? I can't say to you, I'm this transparent person, but be holding this very, what sometimes feels like very big part of my life just in, not secrecy, but just in privacy, in private. And while you absolutely can do that, I noticed that when it started, things started to change for me when I stopped sharing in the way that I was for all the fears that I had. And I realized that it was more uncomfortable for me not to share again, because I'm so thankful for people who are brave and share, because it's helped me immensely. Can I also just, yes, I can. Yes, Marisa, you can. This is your podcast. You may share what you would like to say. I really, really want to honor the people. Every time I take a step further out of my comfort zone and I think about the people who do this on the regular with maybe, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not now a million people paying attention to them, and know they're not a television station. They are their own channel on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube. I have so much admiration for them. You know, those people that you maybe secretly, kind of not so secretly, judge, and maybe you want to criticize them because they seem uber popular influencer-y. Yeah, well, you will know if you don't already. If you are a person who is that person, I really admire you for just growing in the way that you have and been willing to take the criticism and everything all together. And if you have just been on the sidelines judging those people, when you start stepping into your own comfort, discomfort levels, you will understand. And if you are someone who's just, I know you're not listening to this podcast, this is just a public service announcement for any trolls, you're just not living your life. It's a lot easier to just sit in judgment of people that you have no idea what it's actually taking for them to show up every day and share with you. No idea. But when you do that even more, wow, you really have a lot of respect for people, entertainers, everybody that has a stage. Even if they're not trying to, you know, be a teaching stage, an artist stage, any spotlight on you on any level, and your willingness to share and be open and express yourself is very, very brave. So I just want to say that out loud in case you are listening and you are one of those people. I really admire you even more. And I encourage any of you who are on the fence about sharing, and I just encourage you to do so because I think it's very powerful, very powerful. We've lived in a lot of secrecy, really, for too long, and we've had a lot of illusions about things and, you know, positive and negative. And I think it's nice that we are feeling as if we can share parts of our stories today in a way maybe that we never have before. So all of that said, thank you for listening all the way until the end. Thank you for listening to part one. Please do share this with someone you know whom you may think it will be of benefit to them or might help them or just make them feel a little bit better today. You got this. Hang in. I am with you. And I will be back with a follow-up episode. I do not know how many episodes this series will be. I do not know when I will pop back in with my usual, but like I was starting to say, I do think about this from a business perspective as well, because for me, the work I do, and for my creatives who are listening, I know you understand this, it's just intertwined. It's not really separate. It is personal for me, and so this feels like an important part of my business life to share with you as well. It's just something I was stalling on and waiting on. But here we are. Part two done. I'll see you for part three. And until next time, I'm wishing you a beautiful, creative, peaceful week. Creative Thursday is recorded and produced by me, Marisa. You can find all things Creative Thursday at creativethursday.com and creativethursdaycourses.com. Be sure to hit subscribe to get the next episode as soon as it drops. And I thank you so much for your kind, positive 5-star reviews. They mean the world to me. They help me to show up every week and record an episode for you. They inspire me, and it also helps episodes like this especially to reach more people. So I thank you very much. Have a beautiful creative week, and thank you for listening.